In this episode, you will be hearing fireworks from my neighbors who do not own a calendar, and I will be talking about music from Bobby Nelson and Amanda Shires and the Drive-By Truckers, and also the movies Meatballs, The Great Outdoors, and The Burbs, my summer essentials. I'm your host, Derek Brink, and you are listening to Empty Trekking. Hey there, checkmates, it's your old Uncle Derek. As I said in the intro, you are going to be hearing fireworks as I'm recording this tonight. You'll probably actually be hearing fireworks for a couple of episodes, because we're also banking a Fab 15 here this week. But, yeah, it is almost the 4th of July, and my neighbors have decided that that means they can shoot off as many fireworks as they want to, despite the fact that they're illegal in this particular town. So, you know, that's fine. The cops don't enforce it, so, you know, it's barely a law. And when they do enforce it, there are countless ways to get out of it. Like, I've definitely known people who have been issued fines who have, I believe they're not illegal in the state, so state law trumps local, you know, like, city law. So, that's a problem. It's inconsiderate. The fireworks, I understand it on the 4th, if you have to, but even then, be done by fucking 10 o'clock. But I understand it on the 4th, if you have to. I don't think you have to, because it's the most primal and unevolved human thing that you can do. It's like, I made something blow up and couldn't even see the thing that I blew up. Yeah, good job, Elmer. Appreciate your contribution to society. I read a book. I don't care for the fireworks. Here's the thing. If you like fireworks, I'm not going to fault you, but go to an event. Don't just shoot them off in your neighborhood on random day of the week and scare my cats and bother veterans with PTSD and those of us who are just naturally nervous. You're a jerk. You're a jerk. We're all kind of emotionally prepared for it on the 4th. We shouldn't have to be any other day. Don't care for fireworks. I know that's curmudgeonly of me. Although I think I'm a little bit young to be a curmudgeon. I like to think of myself as a misanthrope, because it sounds classy, and some people think I'm a werewolf. I know that it puts me in that category, but I don't like them, and I don't get them. I've been to firework displays, and after the first, like, couple go off, I'm like, hey, it's more of the same, you know? Like, that's just how I feel about it, you know? And you're shooting them off in a neighborhood over what has been a very dry summer. There's gonna be fires, there's gonna be problems, you know, there's gonna be injuries. That's always a shocking thing to me, is people report on so-and-so was injured shooting off a firework as though it's a surprise. You're setting off dynamite. You know, so just not my scene, not my thing, which probably means that I'm inevitably fated to marry someone who loves it. Although the way things have been going lately, probably not. you know, that's the window seems to be closing on that. Because, you know, when God opens a door, or closes a door, he opens a window, which you're not meant to enter or exit through. But eventually, you know, what happens when the window closes is my question. Do you have to, like, shimmy out an air duct? What is the next thing that you do? It happens somewhere in your 40s, I think. Anyway, that got dark. It's been a long week. I apologize. I've had a heck of a week. For those of you who don't subscribe to the show on a podcast app, you may have missed a midweek update where I had a water leak in my basement that was a big deal and scary and, you know, traumatic in the way that that kind of thing always is, from something very easy to fix, thankfully, but it was just a whole to-do. I can actually still smell the water that I didn't get up a little bit, because, you know, you wet dry vac and whatnot, but you can only do so much, and some of it's just gotta air dry. And you get that kind of air drying water smell for a few days, and I've still got a little bit of that. It's not terrible, and like if I light a candle, it gets a lot better, but it's, still dealing with that. Wouldn't be surprised if I get sick in the next couple of days as a result of that. Hope the cats don't. They seem to be fine. They haven't even been sneezy. So, you know, I've had a little bit of my nose running every now and again as a result of all of it. But, you know, it is what it is. It's been a heck of a week that way. Been busy at work, but I don't want to talk about that because, you know, why would I do that? Why would I publicly talk about work other than to say it's been busy? Why would I, like, that's the dumbest thing you can do is like, I'm going to go on record to people who don't know what I do talking to you about my job. That's so dumb. Like, the only thing I have to say about my job is it's been busy. That's the worst thing I can say right now. So, you know, that's it. That's all I'm going to say is my job's been busy lately and I've been tired. I've just been tired, man. I've been tired for years, it feels like. I know I've been tired for at least 1 year. I have benchmarks for that. But I've been tired lately, checkmates. And it's been a heck of a week. Heck of a week. But in that heck of a week, I also did some stuff just for me. Had some fun just for me. One of the things that I did is, it has been 20 years, probably, since I last owned a pair of shorts. And since we've hit the triple digits here in St. Louis a couple times, and it's, you know, muggy and hot even when it isn't in the triple digits, I went out and bought some cargo shorts. Bought some nice, just, you know, basic brown, like, khaki cargo shorts. And, like, texted a picture to a few people and said, what do we think? And the response was good. Like, I haven't worn shorts. I'm a jeans person. I've been wearing jeans my entire life. Just decided I wanted to try shorts. I don't know why. Part of what happened was I went shopping. I wanted to buy some cargo pants to have the side pocket and just have cargo pants. I like cargo pants. I wanted to buy some cargo pants. And I was having trouble finding what I wanted, but I kept seeing cargo shorts that I went, see, if I was a shorts guy, I'd wear that. You know, so I figured, well, maybe I'll buy some shorts and I'll you know, give that a try. So the response has been positive of the people that have seen it. So that's nice. It's nice when you do a thing and people go, yeah, that looks like you. Yeah, that's okay, good, great, wonderful. My friend Josh, I texted him and I said, how do we feel? And he said, I feel like giving you a beer and inviting you to the, and welcoming you to the party or something like that. And then he also suggested I should get a pair in black. So I then texted him a picture tonight of me in black cargo shorts drinking a beer. So that just kind of, I'll put that on the blog. In fact, I'll put the picture on the blog so you have some context for what I look like in short pants. Yeah, I got shorts now. I don't know how often that'll be a thing. I think my default's still going to be jeans. I'm comfortable in jeans. I don't like people seeing a lot of my skin. I got, you know, pasty, kind of bad skin, there are scars that just stay, and, like, even if I just, like, if I wear my socks up high, I wear my socks up, you know, kind of middle of my calf or higher, usually, because I often wear boots, and, you know, you need socks that go up high. But, so if I wear my socks up high, it takes hours for the little, like, elastic line around my calf to go away. Like, my skin just retains whatever happens to it. So I don't like people to see too much of it. If I could wear long sleeves and long pants year-round, in fact, if I could wear layers of long sleeves year-round, I would. But, you know, it gets really hot in summer. So, I don't know, just wanted to try shorts. I'm trying shorts, and we'll do that at least this summer, and we'll see what happens next summer. And an adorable cat just ran past me. Hi, Junko. Hey, Junko Bumble. Love you, buddy. There was a firework in the background there, too. Don't know if you could hear that. You'll hear them. You will hear them at some point, I think, because they shoot off large ones here. Like, they buy professional-grade fireworks. My whatever neighbor it is, who I've decided I don't like, even though I don't know which one of them it is. If I like you in every other context, I don't like you in this one. Like, there's a good couple of weeks of the year, because you do it for weeks, that I just don't like you. So, Take that, I guess, random neighbor. I bought shorts. That's what we were getting at. We're going to talk about a few things here today, tonight, whenever you're listening to this. But first, I should tell you what websites you should go to, probably. Let me find them in my phone, because I've been doing this show for years and years, and I have absolutely no idea what the websites are. If you like the show, there is a companion blog over at emptychecking.blogspot.com. The show itself is hosted at emptychecking.podbean.com. It is available on all of the apps, including the one you're probably listening to it on now. If it's not on your app of choice, let me know and I will get it there. Odds are it was there and somebody changed a rule and I didn't know about it. If you like me, and who wouldn't, and want to know more about me and my musical career, go over to derekbrink.com. Speaking of my music career, the music you hear throughout the show is available at derekbrink.bandcamp.com for absolutely free. All you do is you enter zero as your purchase price, and you can take it. I don't collect your email address, so I don't even know if you took it. I would just love it if you loved it. And if you want to email me and tell me that I'm wrong about things like fireworks or other things that you like that I don't, or things that I do like that you don't, if you want to email me, you can do that at db, those are my initials, db@derekbrink.com. I respond to everybody who isn't mean to me in their email. So that's all that stuff. We got some fireworks going in the background. I'm wearing shorts. I've cracked open a beer because Josh told me to. And we're doing the show. Sit back, relax, enjoy it. Or, for God's sake, if you're driving, keep your eyes on the road. Don't sit back. Do enjoy it, but also diligence. Always diligence. You were my friend, but keep in mind I said word. Don't think I wish you harm, but I'm really not sure. Got a lot of things you should account for, but you could probably say the same to me. Thank you for asking, I've been doing just fine, but let's not pretend that I want to talk to you about a little bit of new music as we get into the show. New music, but old favorites, I guess, is really what we're looking at here. There's an album that was put out by Amanda Shires with sister Bobby Nelson, Willie Nelson's sister, who passed away this year. Although the album is actually credited Bobby Nelson and Amanda Shires, which is classy. I appreciate that. The album is called Loving You. And again, Bobby Nelson and Amanda Shires. Amanda Shires, of course, from The High Women, has also her own wonderful solo career. You might know her as Jason Isbell's wife. Isbell. Spent the entire last episode of this trying to get Isbell right. And I just mispronounced it. She's married to that guy. But if she weren't, she would still have an incredible music career, obviously. She does wonderful, wonderful stuff. Every album that she puts out is in some way different and special. And this one might be the most special thing she's done so far, even though there's... I mean, that's saying a lot, because I really love some of her previous releases. But Loving You with Sister Bobby, and I'm going to keep calling her Sister Bobby because that's what Willie called her when he would introduce her from the stage. Loving You with Sister Bobby. Loving You is a song that Sister Bobby wrote herself, and it's the only one that she ever fully wrote herself. Amanda has said that she knew from moment one they were going to call the album that, and there's a version of it on here, of course, and so on. The album itself is pretty much what you would expect it to be. It's Amanda Shires doing stuff that's associated largely with Bobby Nelson and or Willie Nelson. I'm just going to read the track list to you. Most of these are standards. You're going to just know them. Waltz Across Texas, Always on My Mind, which, wonderful song. Old Fashioned Love, Summertime, Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground, Dream a Little Dream of Me, Tempted and Tried, La Paloma, Loving You, and ends with Over the Rainbow. It is what you expect it to be. It's excellent piano music with excellent singing, with, a full band in there as well. And it's, it's a country record. It's a country record. It's obviously a country record. Released, obviously, posthumously with Bobby Nelson having passed away. And you can see that there's... Like, in the packaging, you can see that they were aware of that by the time they went to print on the packaging, and they, you know, it's dedicated to, you know, for Bobby and so on, and Amanda's address on the in the liner notes to Bobby, or about why she did this, I guess, is touching. It's I mean, it's a country album. It's a country album with Amanda Shires singing and Bobby Nelson playing the piano. And that's exactly what it is. You know what it is from hearing that description. You're correct. And you're going to love it, because I love it. I really wish, like, an album like this, because it's so many, I mean, it's entirely covers and stuff like that, that is never eligible for my top 10 list, or is very rarely eligible for my top 10 list for the year. But I wish this were, because it'd be in the top 5. I've listened to it a lot since it came out a couple weeks ago. I'll tell you this, my first listen of it, I don't know what happens in my brain on a first listen, because I do a first listen, and I'm always, it's rare that on a first listen of something, I'm immediately dialed in, like, yes, this is exactly what I want this album to be. My first listen is usually a little bit nonplussed, usually a little bit kind of like, all right, I'm going to need to listen to that some more, and I was feeling that a little bit with this album. My first listen, I was kind of like, yeah, all right, this is exactly what I thought it'd be. But then, I was listening to it driving, and part of the issue there was I was driving someone else home. I was taking a friend home from work. And I got him home from work, and then drove to my own house and got to hear Loving You on my own, which was nice, and I was alone in the car listening to Loving You, which was felt appropriate. And I pulled into the driveway, and their version of Over the Rainbow started playing, and I cried, because I love Over the Rainbow, and just something about that day and those lyrics and that voice and that performance just hit me the right way. And I sat in my car and just listened to the rest of the song and cried for a while. And that's what music does to you sometimes. And that's what it did to me that day. And this became one of my favorite albums of the year, sitting in my driveway, listening to it and crying. Everybody hear that explosion outside while I was talking about crying? That's what the 4th of July is. You're trying to have a human moment, and shit blows up in the sky. And my cats have been scurrying around in the background, too, because they're hearing things that even I'm not hearing. But, Over the Rainbow made me cry on this album, and I really like it. I really like that performance alone makes this album worth it. Check it out. Bobby Nelson and Amanda Shires, Loving You. It's a wonderful tribute to a wonderful woman who, if you're a Willie Nelson fan, you've got a deep appreciation of Bobby Nelson. You love her dearly. You were sad when she left because, you know, you've listened to Sister Bobby play piano for years and years with Willie. But at the same time, even with that, there is every possibility that people underappreciate Bobby Nelson. Because it's easy to do, because she's playing in Willie Nelson's band. You know, if you have an appreciation and a knowledge of Willie Nelson's band, then you know the key players. You know Paul, Mickey, you know Sister Bobby, you know who she is. But there's you have to be more than just a casual listener, I guess, to really appreciate the people in the band other than Willie Nelson. Most people just love Willie Nelson. You could easily see Willie Nelson play and go, oh, it was awesome, I saw Willie Nelson play. I didn't know his sister played piano. I mean, that could easily be your experience. And that's legitimate, and that's a perfectly okay experience to have. I'm not mad at anybody for that. But I am saying that maybe that has resulted in the year over the years in Bobby being a little bit underappreciated, which is a shame. And Amanda Shires putting out this album with Bobby Nelson goes a long way toward correcting that. And I love her for that, and I'm grateful for that. And I'm a big enough Willie fan and a big enough fan of the members of his band that news came as something of a blow when, you know, you hear Sister Bobby died and you just go, ugh, I know she had a good long life, but that still hurts my heart a little, you know? And then I heard that this album was coming out, and I just thought, oh, that's perfect. What a wonderful thing that Amanda Shires is doing. And I stand by that. What a wonderful thing that she did. It's a wonderful album. You should absolutely hear it if you're a fan of any of the parties that I've mentioned. The other release that I want to talk about is actually a re-release. It's an anniversary release, kind of a 20 years thing, I guess. Wow, was that right? Is this album 20 years old? Wow, okay. And that is Drive-By Truckers, The Complete Dirty South. The Dirty South album is a single-disc affair that came out however many years ago. I'm not gonna say it again. Came out however many years ago and is a great album. It's one of their essential albums. I don't think it's the quintessential DBT album. I think that's Decoration Day. If you're only going to buy one DBT album, make it Decoration Day. I'm disappointed we didn't get an anniversary re-release of that. But Dirty South, basically, reading between the lines on everything that has been said about it, I think Patterson Hood likes this album, felt that there were some issues with it that he wanted to correct, and therefore we got an anniversary release, which basically adds a couple songs that weren't on the original playlist, only one of which I don't think we had on any other release before. So not a lot to add there, and there's, you know, like a re-recorded vocal track on at least one of the songs, because Patterson listened back, thought that his choice at the time was bad, and redid it. That's the totality of what they released here. Really could have been a three-song single in that way. And I love this band, but this, you know, I bought this, and for some reason it's two discs now. It really doesn't feel like it needs to be two discs, but it's two discs now. And has two extra songs, basically, and a re-recorded one. And I don't know. I bought it because I love this band, and it's just, obviously, I'm going to buy whatever thing they put out. But it's got a really beautiful book that comes with it that goes into great detail of what the band was all about at the time, and the album, and the time that they were in, and what the songs meant to them, and contains a bunch of pictures and stuff, some of which I haven't seen before. That's nice, and I enjoy that. I'm also not going to look at that a lot. you know, it's nice, but also who cares, basically. And that's ultimately kind of how I feel about this re-release, is it's nice, but who cares? You don't really need it. It's got a couple of songs that weren't on the original release, one of which you definitely have if you picked up the sort of sampler thing they put out a few years ago that I can't remember the name of. TVA is the song I'm talking about. One of Isbell's songs. I don't know. I felt let down, honestly, when I looked at the track list. And I listened to it, and it sounds great. It's a wonderful remaster, and the, you know, the newly recorded vocal track is fine, but I was also fine with the old one. It's, you know, it sounds really good. I understand why they did it, but ultimately I felt a little let down and just kind of like, really? I'm going to give you $20 for this, which I already mostly have. Really? Guys? Really? And that's ultimately my feeling on this re-release. That said, I bought it the day it came out. I'm eventually going to pick up the vinyl to go with the CD because I have everything DBT did, both on CD and vinyl. But, you know, it feels like something I'm buying because it has to sit on the shelf with everything else. And that's the main thing it's going to do, is sit on the shelf, because the old version is on my phone and I have no real need to replace it. So if you're a DBT fan who is a completionist, pick it up if you're like me. If you're casual DBT fan, you don't really need it. If you like DBT and you don't know what album to start with, you could do worse. You could certainly do worse than picking up this album. There are worse DBT albums out there than The Dirty South. The Dirty South actually is a really great album. It has some of my favorite DBT stuff on it. Where the Devil Don't Stay, Tornadoes, Day John Henry Died, Carl Perkins Cadillac, I love. Goddamn Lonely Love is great. Lookout Mountain is great. Never Gonna Change is great. I like the sort of Alabama, like, the Boys from Alabama, Buford Stick kind of thing. Yeah, it's a really great album. I don't want to take anything away from the album. I don't want it to sound like I don't like the album. Just, you know, if the one that you find in the store is the single disc original pressing, that'll do you, and it's a few bucks cheaper. This release is for guys like me. And if you're not a guy like me, you can pass on it. And if you are a guy like me, you'll pick it up and go, really, that's it? So, that's where we are. Every band gets there eventually. Every band gets to the point where their fans pick up the re-release and go, really, that's it? You know, and it's DBT just got there. That's okay. Just shows they've been around a while. I've been glad to be a part of it for so long. I'm going to keep being a part of it, because I love that band and love that music. And you know what? Giving me one more reason to celebrate an album I already love isn't a bad thing. I just could have used a little bit more, is all. And that's okay. That's where we are. That's the music that I wanted to talk about. Of the two, if you're going to buy one of them, pick up the Bobby Nelson and Amanda Shires record. But, yeah, that's the music that I wanted to talk about. Let's talk about something else now. I probably would have made you my wife and loved you then. Now I don't understand you. Probably dodged a bullet there. I bet you would have made me cut my hair and lose the beard just to please you. Well, screw that. I'm glad you're gone and I don't want to hear your name. I love the neighbors then. Have moved on from just shooting off fireworks to also then. Yelling on the lawn. So that's how the night's going. You're going to hear some of that too. I want to talk to you about something I do enjoy in summer. I don't love fireworks, don't care about the 4th of July. Don't you love America? Not here lately, but that's unrelated. I want to talk to you about summer movies that I always have to watch. I was sure that I had done this on a previous episode of the show, and if anybody knows that I did, I apologize. But here's the thing. I went to my own blog over at emptychecking.blogspot.com, and I searched and searched and searched for these movies and for a segment like this, and I don't think I've ever actually talked about the three movies that I have to watch in summer. Somehow, I've never done this, at least not in a way where it's the whole segment. So we're doing it now. You ready? You excited? I'm excited. I'm fine with it. Excited might be pushing it a little bit, but I'm glad to talk to you about it. There are three movies that I always watch every summer, usually either Memorial Day or Labor Day, sometimes both, and one or two of them might get viewed a few times in the middle. These are movies that I love, that I associate with summer, that are the quintessential summer movies to me, and I watch them every year, and I wanted to share them with you. Maybe you have movies like this, too. Maybe we share some of the same movies. So let's dive in. The first one that really started this tradition, this is a movie that, this is the one that I had to watch every summer, going back probably to my 20s, that might be the case. I've always made time for this movie in summer. Meatballs. Bill Murray's Meatballs. Well, I guess Ivan Reitman's Meatballs, but Bill Murray is the guy in it. if you don't know what Meatballs is, I guess caveat for all of these movies, 70s and 80s flicks, and in that way some of them have aged poorly. There is some content that definitely you hear now and go, ugh, you know? or you view and go, ugh, you know? There's... If you're able to separate yourself into the time that it was made, it's a different experience. You know, let's just accept that for anything that we talk about throughout perpetuity. But Meatballs is a screwball comedy that is basically Bill Murray plays the director of a summer camp in Canada where, you know, they certainly have hot summers. Summer camp in Canada. He plays a head counselor. More than the director. The director is Morty rather than Tripper. Some of you are already lost. He plays the main guy at a summer camp in Canada. And it's about the antics of the counselors there and the kids that are brought in, and about Bill Murray connecting with one kid who is like the shy, nervous kid, and he helps bring that kid around to himself and helps that kid find himself and who he is. And by the end of the movie, everybody loves that kid. You know, it's that kind of bullshit that, you know, doesn't actually happen in real life. But that's what the movie is. And it's a ridiculous comedy with Bill Murray being peak Bill Murray and a whole bunch of other people in it, most of whom I haven't seen in anything other than this. One person that I saw in this, and also a downright pornographic version of Alice in Wonderland. You can look that up on your own time if you want to. I personally don't recommend it, because I just wondered what happened to Christine DeBell, and Googled her at one point, because it seemed like she would have been something, and started reading about her, and when she did a what? And it was called a pornographic version of Alice in Wonderland. So I was like, it can't be what they're saying it is, you know? So I found it, and I watched it, and it's what they're saying it is. It's Alice in Wonderland, but it's a very pornified version of it. And, like, full-on porn, man. This isn't, like, there's sex scenes in it, but, like, you know, it's rated R. No, this is an X-rated movie that has a plot to it that's kind of zany funny in its for its time, but it is mainly porn. You're welcome, I guess. Specific guy who's gonna look that up. Meatballs is not porn, though, thankfully. No one wants to see Bill Murray, in that way. Actually, people probably do. Probably did at the time, anyway. Maybe fewer people now. There's various members of the cast that I don't want to see that way. Ever. Regardless of the year. This is a bad, bad segment. Bad episode. This is not the best one. Sorry if this is your first one. You misjudged. Made an error. Still fireworks going off in the background, but that one was quiet. That one didn't pick up on the mic, but I heard it. I'm seething. Meatballs. It's a really fun movie. Everything I just said, forget about the last couple of minutes. Meatballs is a really fun movie. It's, you know, zany camp movie with, like, a good feeling, you know, warms the cockles of your heart type story with the main kid in it. And some really good lines that have stood the test of time and some lines that really have not. But again, if you can put yourself in that era, it's fine. I mean, it's no worse than, like, Stripes or any of the other Bill Murray's movies of that era. But Meatballs, I love it. I watch it every year. There's constantly quoting that movie. That's like one of those movies like Clue that I just am constantly going to quote. And the people that get it are members of my tribe, and the people that don't, they probably don't think twice about it, or they go, what is that? And I explain it to them, and they go, oh. And that's really the end of that conversation. But Meatballs is one of my quintessential summer movies. I have now told you that. Another quintessential summer movie for me is The Great Outdoors, starring John Candy and Dan Aykroyd. I feel like I did talk about this one. In fact, I feel like Dave was involved in talking about this one. Your Papa Dave, if you listen to the show. I feel like he was involved in talking about this. Was this released in 89 or something? Was this maybe in our Movies of 89 thing? Maybe, maybe not. Great Outdoors is another, like, summer vacation movie, but this time it's a family going to a cabin, and they are John Candy's family, goes to a cabin in the woods to have a good old-fashioned family vacation with, you know, cooking out and fishing and riding boats and stuff. And along comes his irritating brother-in-law, played by Dan Aykroyd, who just kind of storms in and, you know, strong arms his way in on their vacation, and suddenly he's there too. And that's the basic premise of the movie. But what it is it's John Candy and Dan Aykroyd running around in the woods doing crazy stuff and having fun. And, you know, it's all of the zany things that lends itself to. There's a bear in it that is quintessential to the plot. Look, this movie came out in 1980-something. Spoilers, I guess. There's a bear in the movie that is responsible for the hardest I have ever seen my mother laugh. Mom had a very serious side, but she also enjoyed a good joke every now and again. And this was one of those times that, like, I never saw her laugh as hard as she laughed at this movie at one beat in it. There's a bear in the story. The story is the bear, years and years ago, interrupted John Candy and his wife's honeymoon, and someone shot at the bear and blew the hair off the bear's head. And so you've got a bald bear walking around. At the end of the movie, the bear makes a return, and they again shoot the bear, but this time they shoot him in the butt, and you just get this bear, like, B-A-R-E, bear ass, just, like, flopping around, and he just runs away kind of howling. And when that happens, it sounds horrible by today's, you know, treatment of animal standards. I'm sure that they took care of the animal, you know, but it was really funny. So funny that my mother laughed so hard she had to get up and leave the theater and, like, just go somewhere else because she was ruining the movie for others because she was laughing so hard at seeing a bear ass. Hard to say bear and bear right next to each other and have them be different words. But yeah, Mom had to miss the end of the movie because she couldn't get it together. Like, that is the hardest I've ever seen her laugh. And that's the kind of movie it is. It's got these little moments that are just funny, sort of like sketch comedy moments that you would come up with, and then just, all right, let's weave a narrative structure around this, and we got a movie. There was a lot of that in the 80s and the 70s, a little bit in the 90s too. And this is one of those movies. I think it was produced by John Hughes. So it's, you know, it's that kind of movie. But yeah, it's just a zany summer comedy, and made me laugh as a kid, makes me laugh as an adult, and is one of the nice memories I have of my mother. So there's a lot going on for me with The Great Outdoors. If you haven't seen it, wow, how have you not seen it? It's like a summer classic, I think, anyway. I may think it did better than it did. Who knows? It's hard to tell. Great movie. Really funny comedy. You got John Candy and you got Dan Aykroyd. What else do you need to know? You're going to want to see that. It's a good pairing. They're funny together. John Candy was a gift that God gave us, and Dan Aykroyd is weird but funny. Check it out if you haven't. Great Outdoors. I have to watch it every summer. It, like, these movies speak to me in different ways. Like, Meatballs speaks to me of, like, the one or two times I actually went to scout camp. Great Outdoors speaks to me of, like, family vacation in the summer, although we went to, like, Arkansas in a farmhouse rather than to a cabin. It you know, just kind of reminds me of that. The third movie in this pile that is my third quintessential summer movie reminds me of just being a kid in the summer running around the neighborhood. We talked about it in our Best Movies of 1989 episode. I'm talking about Tom Hanks in The Burbs, which is best defined as a comedy horror movie that pokes fun at the horror genre a little bit, although not really. It kind of leans into the horror at one point. But it's mainly a comedy, and it's family-friendly for the most part. I'm sure there's a curse word or two, but whatever. It's basically, there's nothing that's going to scar your kids, I don't think. I guess that depends on the kid. But it's the concept is a family in, well, a neighborhood, really, kind of a block of houses. Maybe there's a court involved. And some new neighbors move in, and they're mysterious, and they end up being, you know, very questionable, possibly evil, and the neighborhood decides to investigate and interfere and intervene if they feel they need to. That's what The Burbs is. It stars Tom Hanks. Good chance you've heard of this one. Good chance you've seen this one. I mean, Tom Hanks, Bruce Dern, who has always been 58 years old, Carrie Fisher, Rick Ducommun, may he rest in peace. Corey Feldman is in it. I mean, how much more 80s can you get than Corey Feldman being in a movie and you like him? You know, like, that's The Burbs. It's a wonderful movie. And it's laugh out loud funny. Other people, Henry Gibson and Brother Theodore. I mean, we talked about all this in our 89 episode, our Movies of 89 episode. Track that down in the archive. That's one of my favorite lists that we did. I really like that one. Check out Fab 15 Movies of 1989. Anything more I say is really just going to be repeating myself, but it's laugh out loud funny in a lot of places. Again, one of those movies that I will just occasionally quote, and people who get it go, "Hey, that's from The Burbs." And I go, "Yes, it is." And then we both continue our lunch quietly and go back to work. That's what happens in most of those situations. The Burbs, definitely one of my favorite summer movies. It's a must-view summer movie for me. Really, really love it. If you haven't seen it, I just can't believe that, because it's perfect and wonderful and hilarious. Of the three movies, it's probably aged the best in many ways. But yeah, just a wonderful movie. Just a wonderful movie, The Burbs. And very different, a very different kind of movie, because it's a little hard to shoehorn, because there is sort of a horror suspense aspect to it, but it's mostly a comedy, you know, and that's hard to pull off, and that's hard to even market. In fact, I don't think it did very well when it initially came out, but it's hard to even describe to somebody, but those are often, like, the quirky ones are often the best movies, and this movie's definitely very quirky. All of these movies are quirky in their own way, but The Burbs is definitely the quirkiest. I really, really love it. It's probably the thing, it came out in 1989, I was 9 years old. It's probably the thing that first got me going, oh, I really like Tom Hanks. You know, and everybody has that moment with Tom Hanks. It's hard to find somebody who doesn't like Tom Hanks. There are people out there, and they are crazy if you engage them in conversation. Try not to look directly in their eyes, it provokes them. But most of us love Tom Hanks, and I think it was either The Burbs or it was Big that started me going, oh, I really like that guy, you know? And, like, I think everybody can kind of think, yeah, that's where I started paying attention to Tom Hanks. Burbs is probably where I really started paying attention to Tom Hanks. Love that movie. Love sharing it with others. I've already watched it this year, but if anybody wants to get together and just watch The Burbs again, I'm in. Like, we can watch, if you want to watch any of these movies with me, I absolutely want to sit in a room and watch this movie with you. Preferably with a beer, probably. That'd be nice, but it's not required. I absolutely want to hang out with you and watch these movies. Like, if you want to watch all three of them in a sitting, it's going to take a while, but we can do it. I'm on board for that. Let's hang out, watch some summer movies. It's still summer. It's like the heart of summer right now. Let's watch some summer movies. Even if you don't do it with me, watch some summer movies and have a good time. That's what summer's for, having a good time. So have a good time.
Good. It doesn't sound like the truth, even though you know that it should. You can't keep breaking knuckles, knocking on wood. You don't understand why you feel misunderstood. And
well, folks, we're not going to quite make it to the 1 hour mark. That's okay. We can have a shorter one. We're going to have a really long one the next time with our Fab 15 episode, I'm sure. The fireworks have been a little bit more reserved than I expected here tonight. I'm sure it's going to be crazy on Monday and Tuesday, because the 4th is the holiday, and everybody's off on the 4th, so of course they're going to shoot off all the fireworks on the 4th when everybody has to drag their ass into work on the 5th. That will never make sense to me. You should set them off the day before you have the day off, because that's more considerate. I gotta get up at 7 in the fucking morning on the 5th, and you're gonna be shooting off fireworks until 3 in the fucking morning on the 4th. Actually, on the 5th. I really hate this week every year. I wish I could live somewhere where it didn't happen, but it's like that everywhere in America. This should be the time of year that I go to Ireland for a week or something. somebody who makes better money than I do want to marry me so we can start doing that, just going on vacation to some country that doesn't do fireworks on the 4th. This is at least the second or third time in recent episodes that I've proposed to my audience on mic. Sorry about that. Hope nobody's taking that seriously. Because I probably don't even know you. Anyway, we had some bad weather this week. I'm so tired, Trekmates. I'm sorry. This episode's going to go up, and I'm not going to edit a word of it. It'll be fine. We had some bad weather this week. And in my neck of the woods, I was surprisingly unaffected, or largely unaffected. There was some scary thunder. Heard a little bit of wind, not too bad. Heard a little bit of stuff hitting the roof. Couple little tree limbs that were no big deal. Cats were, you know, a little bit wound up when it was happening. But within a couple miles of me, there were downed trees, downed power lines. There was trees falling through roofs because the wind was so bad. I got lucky. I have friends that were not near as lucky. The outage that is currently going on in my neck of the woods that is not affecting me, there are friends of mine who are going to be without power for days, which is really unacceptable in the year 2023. We should have figured out how to restore power easily. I mean, there's always going to be a weather event. You know, there's always going to be something that knocks out the power. When it isn't catastrophic to most people's property, like I said, there were a couple trees that blew over into people's roofs, but, like, the structure still stood, you know, like, that kind of thing. It wasn't absolutely catastrophic. They've got to move. They've just got to fix the roof and go on about their lives, you know. When it isn't something that rips a house out of its foundation, we should really have found a way to restore power easily by now. The power line should be underground. We should have reliable ways to restore power. And in St. Louis and in other parts of the country, we definitely don't. I definitely point all 10 of my fingers at Ameren Power here in Missouri, which is an absolute monopoly here. We don't have another option for a way to get power in Missouri, unless you do solar or something like that. But let's face it, for most of us, that is not a feasible option. So Ameren Electric has once again failed the people in my community. I've been lucky, but I have friends that were not. And if anybody wants to send out positive thoughts or, you know, vibes or whatever you do, I'm sure that that would be on some level appreciated. Even though, I mean, this is dangerously close to thoughts and prayers, isn't it? And that's always bullshit. Actually, thoughts and prayers, that's bullshit when a politician says it, or when a preacher says it. It's usually not bullshit when a person says it, when someone you know says it, when someone you know who doesn't know any other way to help says, I'm going to keep you in my prayers, I'm going to be thinking about you and praying for you. That's the only thing they know that they can do. Because they probably can't put you up, and they probably can't give you a lot of money, and they probably can't solve anything for you, but they can turn to God, who they believe is the only being in existence that can possibly help you, and ask him, her, it, or whatever to intervene. That comes from a very good place in that person's heart, and you shouldn't shit on it. You should shit on it when Marjorie Taylor Greene says it. You should shit on it when Joe Biden says it. You should shit on it when any politician says it, because it's always bullshit that's just kind of saying, we're not actually going to deal with this. When a human being, because politicians aren't, when a human being says it to you, that's usually from a good place in their heart. They mean well. They don't know what else to say, but they want you to know that they love you and they care, and that's a nice thing. So if you want to do a nice thing for the people in my community and you don't know how else to help, please put some of that goodwill into the universe, whether it goes to God, whether it goes to whatever else you believe in. If you pray to Joe Pesci, if you pray to Lou Reed, whatever. Put some of that good energy into the world. It would be appreciated, and on some level, I think it will be felt. So yeah, I didn't mean to say any of that. Just meant to say some folks I know don't have their lights on right now. I'm fortunate in that I do. Folks, I hope you have a happy and safe 4th of July, and if possible, a quiet one. but that's not likely for most of us. I hope your 5th of July is survivable, because it's going to suck for most of us who have to get up and drive into an office, or, you know, get up and walk into a different room of our house to log in on a computer, whatever the case may be. Yeah, have a good 4th. Not a lot to celebrate about America at the moment, but, you know, at least you got a day off, probably. Some of you don't, so you got no reason to be happy. Sorry. Maybe listen to one of the albums or watch one of the movies that I recommended on that day. Maybe those will make you happy. Maybe have a nice sausage. A good sausage always makes me happy. An old bratwurst or something. Or a kielbasa or a summer sausage. Just cut off a chunk of that, shove it right in the old mouth. That's a good time. Turns out I'm hungry. Okay, we're going to call this one a draw, and thank you so much for listening and for putting up with me, even when I'm exhausted and weird and kind of sweaty, as it turns out. A little warm in the house tonight. I've got to start keeping focused when I'm doing these things. Thanks. Thanks for listening. Thanks for letting me be part of your week. I always really, really appreciate it. Please remember that, look, COVID-19 is still out there, so is a myriad of any other things. Someone I know actually posted in one of their social media things this week, hey, my family came down with COVID-19 this week. Who knew that was even still a thing? Well, one would think you do, since you got it. So anyway, that's still out there. A lot of things are out there. Please do whatever you need to do to keep yourself healthy, happy, and safe, says the guy whose last episode was reporting on a rock festival that he went to. But do that. Please keep yourself healthy, happy, and safe. Please remember that Black Lives Matter, that LGBTQIA+ rights are human rights, that women's rights are human rights, and I shouldn't have to tell you any of that. And checkmates, be good to each other, be good to yourself, forgive each other, and forgive yourself. And while you're doing all that, check us out next time. How could the guy have a hook on his foot?